So we're back. We're really going to get to work here today. I got some stuff to share.
So we're going to, with this session, we're going to talk about how to do a traditional Bible study.
Okay.
You're not writing your own. You're using something that you find, and we're going to show you. We're going to show you some of the ones that we have at Christian Leaders. But also, you can go to the Christian bookstore or order online. There's all kinds of Bible studies.
Well, okay. I like that.
So off the shelf, we have a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, we got some options here. The Marriage Connection. We got 21 Days of True
Beauty. Yeah, there you go.
You know, 21 Days of True Beauty. This would be a great women's Bible study.
Yeah.
The Marriage Connection, Amazing Couples Bible Study.
Yeah.
Here's, if you're into the book of Daniel, here's a Daniel Bible study. I like this as a topical Bible study on, but it's actually from Philemon.
Yeah, the book of Philemon.
This is a Philemon Bible study. I'm amazed that a Philemon Bible study
is only
one chapter of the whole Bible. But this Bible study will, if you're with like a businessman's group, seriously, great Bible study. Here is a Bible study on the book of Ephesians. This is extremely popular, I might add. Also popular is the book of Acts. And in Acts is a big book. In this one, how did you get a book of Acts that's so small? I mean, we have that here. We have the Jesus Bible, which is just a great tool to study the Bible. Tell us a little more about the Jesus Bible.
Every book of the Bible, there's something in each book relating to Jesus. Also, the Old Testament, and so it's all in there.
I love this one, the 12 steps. It's like connected to the prayer of serenity class you've done, and now here we have one for the 12 steps.
Right.
This would be an amazing Bible study to offer in churches as a topical Bible study.
Right.
And here's something else, too. I'm glad to share all this because, in some ways, Professor Steve, who I've known for 30 plus years, this is one of his just amazing gifts to be able to take Bible study topics or Bible study books and make them into reproducible and transferable Bible studies. So if you are a minister trained at Christian Leaders Institute, Alliance, or College, these are off-the-shelf tools for you to access. So, and I don't know if I ever really publicly thank you for this. I'd publicly thank you for many things, but thank you for doing the work and the effort to put these together. This is no small thing to do.
Right.
So,
but there's also, there's also hundreds of other Bible studies all over you don't have to buy all your Bible studies from Christian Leaders Institute. We just want you to succeed.
Right. What's nice about these is they're connected to the seven connections, which is sort of an operating system that we use here for the walk with God, the habit of relationship. And these Bible studies fit that reproducible habit.
And a lot of these Bible studies that would be different than other ones, that there's something for each participant to do every single day.
Right.
So then maybe you meet once a week, but there's something for you to do each day rather than just doing it, when you get together with your Bible study.
Very powerful.
All right. So there's also the writing your own option.
Okay.
So, and a lot of times this is, sort of threatening to a lot of people. But we'll show you it's not really that difficult.
We'll show you how to do it.
All right. So the first thing you do is find what you're studying. Maybe you're studying
John 1.
Yeah. The book of John, let's say. You start with John 1. So number one, what do you think was the original message to the original hearers of this passage? So let's choose like Luke 15. That's the story of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the two sons, right? The lost son. And what do you think the original message was? There's a little preface to Luke 15 where it says Jesus was sitting there eating with the sinners, and then the righteous folks, the teachers of the law, were complaining that Jesus was doing that. And that was sort of the setup, and now Jesus tells these stories in this context.
Right. It's important to know that who is in the audience.
Right. Because it helps you later on with the meeting. So you start with, well, what do you think the original message was to the original hearers of this passage? Now, you may have to look some things up if
right.
you don't know. Or it's, in Luke 15, it's obvious. It's right there.
Handy.
Yes.
Because sometimes you will know exactly what it
is. So who wrote the book of Luke? Well, Luke
right.
did.
Right.
To whom was it originally written? It was right. written to a more of a Greek-speaking
right.
Audience. What was the occasion? What was the occasion for this particular chapter? Was Jesus eating with the sinners?
Right. Right.
What was the message for the original hearers? Now, it's interesting, the story of the prodigal son especially. You know, the one son runs off and then he comes back and he's accepted and they kill the fatted calf. But then the older son, who'd never left home, that was a good son,
right.
is in the field whining and crying. And
right.
and the father comes out to him and tries to explain. And then the story just ends. We don't know what the older son did.
Right.
Because Jesus was speaking to those Pharisees or those teachers of the law and saying, I don't know what you're going to do. You're
right.
invited too. So it's like the meaning of the thing is enhanced by knowing the original stuff. So number two, what do you think is the message for the people of today?
Okay, so really to get the original understanding and then to then say, now how does this apply to me?
Right. So with that particular story, those in the church would be probably tempted to look at that passage and go, well, I'm the prodigal son and Jesus and God the Father welcomes me with open arms. But really, we're the teachers of the law, right? We're the religious people.
We've been around a long time.
And, you know, maybe sometimes we think we have things coming because we've gone to church every week, we've done our Bible studies, we've done all the right things, and we somehow think we've earned it.
Right.
So maybe that's the message for us today. And then what might be the message for you? So
right.
where in my life do I think I'm entitled
right.
to God's goodness rather than to see it all as a gift? That
right.
I, too, even though that I'm the older brother, I think I've done everything right. No, I'm a prodigal son, too.
Right, right, right.
All right, so write your own option, too. So that's one. Now, you know, what we just went through is kind of complicated.
Yeah.
You may have to look at a commentary.
But that's often why you're doing ministry training here. You're digging
yes.
into many
yes.
Bible passages so you
right.
can really do this well.
Yes.
Yes.
Off the shelf is easy because the book
somebody's done it. Yeah.
Done all the work for you. Then you try to do it, and if you've done the training, you want to give it a go, I think this is a great option.
And the nice thing about doing the training where you are here getting ministry training is that it all builds. Like, for instance, you could be overwhelmed by, like, Luke, the author Luke right now.
Right.
It's the first time you're really in it. And so you
right.
start finding out things about Luke. But as you go on, the more you learn, I just learned something new at the Bible study with the Florida Bible study group we talked about in the last session. We're doing Acts right now. And it's right around the second missionary journey where Luke shifts voice from talking about everything previous to we sailed.
Yes.
We, so all of a sudden, after the disagreement with Barnabas, and then there was a new Silas team, right when that new Silas team started, somehow Luke signed on at that point.
Right, right.
Well, no, I have never noticed that in this way, all the way through Calvin Seminary,
right.
all the way through ministry, and now all of a sudden, I see, oh, this is when Luke signed on.
Yeah.
So your ministry training here, like right now as you do your first Bible study or you do your own, it does feel overwhelming.
Yes.
But after a while, layers.
Right.
And then you do a Bible study again, and do a Bible study again, and you learn a little more.
And you do with what you know. It
right.
doesn't have to be perfect.
Right.
The point is to sort
the Holy
of engage.
Spirit, when it's a windy place, and the Holy Spirit utilizes you wherever you are, and that's why you're at ministry training, to get more knowledge and insights.
So, writing your own option two.
Okay.
So, what... Okay, I'm sorry. What we did, this is still the option that we were looking at previously. We just looked at how the original thing, the original message, and so on. But now we're turning it
going deeper. Yes.
What might be the problem that the text is dealing with for the original hearers? So mm-hmm. now, instead of, you know, concentrating on the background, all of those things, it's like, well, what problem do you see that these people have? So Jesus had a problem because he was spending time with the sinners, and he's preaching about God's righteousness, and they're like, okay, I don't get it.
Right.
So that would be the problem. How might the above problem be a similar or opposite problem for us today?
Okay.
So when you're reading, for example, the book of Acts, we have all the things that Rome was doing.
Right.
And some of those things are in our culture today.
That's right.
But sometimes it's an opposite problem.
Right, right.
Okay, so, but still to think about, okay, well, how did that work?
Right.
Three, where is the hope and salvation?
In the text.
In the text. So what hopeful thing, so Jesus talks about the prodigal son, the hopeful thing is both the one who ran away and the one who thinks he deserves God's love, that God loves each one equally.
Right.
You know, both are invited to the party, and
right.
it's up to you. What might be the message of hope and salvation for us today?
Right.
Or, you know, what is the hope of salvation that perhaps you need?
Right. You know, I want to reflect on this. So in option one, the pre-shelf option,
okay.
What the strength of this is that it's off the shelf. You can get going right away. You can even, when you're doing ministry training, you can build on your ministry training now and even bring it into the off-the-shelf options.
Yes, and you know, the more of these that you would do, the better you're equipped to be able to do your own.
Right.
Right? You kind of get to kind of the lay of the land on how things go.
And but you can kind of model after you do this a while, you go, oh, right. I see how.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So the couple of the writing your own options that we looked at, the first one was, you know, the background
right.
of the Bible passage and who wrote it and all those things and then how it related. In the second option, it was more
literary, more like the conflict in the text.
It related
to more of, you know, what was the pain that somebody was dealing with.
Yes. In some ways, this is what a good sermon also does. It's
right.
like, what is the problem that this text is really dealing with, and
right.
how does that relate to our problem today?
Right.
And now if you present it that way, people are interested in solving the problem.
You know what I find, too, and maybe this we should talk about now, and in some ways, the best is when you can see a little bit of both.
Yeah.
So that, you know, the story of Zacchaeus is an interesting story. I mean, to actually get into the original meaning of a text is you're the tax collector.
Right.
Well, tax collectors bid for the right to take money from everybody. Okay, so you can get caught up in a whole thing about tax collector did this and everything like that and everything, and mm-hmm. and that could be the whole sermon, but people would go like, oh, very intellectual, I went to a seminary now today.
Yeah.
But if you get to the trouble in the text, then you see how Jesus met with the lowest of low
right.
and brought them salvation, and
yeah.
Jesus came to seek and save the lost.
Right.
You
right.
and I
yeah.
are lost.
So yeah, Zacchaeus is feeling small in stature, right?
Yes.
And he knows that he's, you know, done some things that he's probably not proud of. So he's hiding up in the tree to get a glimpse of Jesus. So then the question is, okay, there's the problem. Zacchaeus has this issue. He
right.
hears about Jesus, but he can't face Jesus in his brokenness, so he hides in the tree. How do you hide in the
yeah,
tree?
Yeah, right.
Right?
Right.
I mean, how is it that you are feeling insignificant or small, not maybe in stature, but maybe, you know, you're in a church and you feel like other people are so smart and then you're new
right.
to the faith, you don't know your Bible as good as they do, or you have all these thoughts, but when you start talking, they don't come out very eloquently, or
right.
whatever it might be. So now all of a sudden, a really good Bible study is opening, okay, there was the problem, we understand it, we get it, we have to talk about
right.
it enough to get it, But then now, how does that apply to you and I? And this is where a lot of times you'll have half the people in the Bible study who will want to just stay on the intellectual
background. Yeah, they want to stay about, let's talk about the way tax was collected in the Roman Empire. And let's talk about how Jesus and the Pharisees would have related to that. And in fact, a lot of times, a lot of sermons, that teaching type sermons, never get into the application. But the application tends to be where the trouble in the text is located.
Right. It's, if you can find the trouble in the text, you're like three quarters of the way there. Because now you just have to ask, how do we have that trouble? How do, now, sometimes that's it's hard, you know, because that was 2,000 years ago.
Right.
And things are slightly different, but a lot of things are often the same.
Well, and on the other side, we've seen it, where people go right to the trouble of the text, and because they have not done their work to get into what it was originally meant by the hearers and the original history, they also do damage because now they're going all application, all application, application.
Yeah.
And it almost becomes subjective. Everything is subjective. Yeah. You know, and, like, I believe God can speak if you put your finger on words of the Bible. I do believe that. On the other hand, if you actually did not get grounded in good learning, you could become a very dangerous, almost a cult leader at times.
Well, you'll read into your trouble into the text when the text never meant that at all.
Right.
Right. You'll take one word or something and go, yeah, that's the problem that we're facing, and that's the teaching I want to do, and then you make this whole thing. But really, if you spent the time to figure out what the real context was, that wasn't the problem.
Right.
This was the problem.
Right. And then once you clarify that problem in the text, based upon the historical, what you can know about what it meant to the original hearers, now all of a sudden, it can become very powerful sharing the Word of God. It could become a great Bible study, an excellent sermon. We call it, you bake it, and then it becomes not half-baked. That's how experienced ministers, you completely put the ingredients together, and you bake it.
Let me, you know, we have just enough time. Let me give you an example. When Jesus says, I thirst on the cross.
Okay.
Now, the tendency would be to go, oh, we all thirst. We thirst for all kinds of different things in lives. We thirst for money. We thirst for significance. And so now all of a sudden we're going down the application trail. But we didn't really take any time to figure out what the context of I thirst meant. So Jesus says, I thirst. And you can look up words, I thirst and thirsty, and you'll find David as, you know, the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul thirsts for God, thirsting for, even given to all these things. And I'm not saying that some of these things aren't there, but if you look at the whole thing, that they dipped a sponge in it was a stalk. They put a hyssop, a stalk of hyssop, they put the sponge on this, they dipped it into the wine vinegar, which was symbolic of maybe communion. You know, you can go down that trail. But if you look up the word hyssop, you go all the way back to Exodus and the Passover. Because if you remember that story, the lamb that they were to eat together as a family so that the angel of death would pass over all of Israel.
The blood in the bowl,
and they had to paint that blood over their door frames, but they had to paint it with hyssop.
Wow.
So the whole context of I thirst is pointing back to the Passover. And now Jesus is the Passover lamb here on the cross. And what they had been doing for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years is taking place right now. And they just did the Passover.
Yeah,
so if you look at, you know, the context of something, all of a sudden it becomes, the message there really is, don't be so full of your religious observations that you miss Jesus.
Right,
because that's what the Jews were doing Passover year after year after year. But then they finally, when the point of the Passover comes in Jesus on the cross, they totally miss it.
Right.
In fact, we got to kill Jesus quickly because of the Passover.
Right. It's ironic.
It's totally ironic.
But so then the trouble in the text is ultimately our salvation.
Yes.
You know, ultimately the angel of death must pass over us.
Right. So all of a sudden it becomes a different sermon than maybe you would have made it.
Right.
And because I think it becomes, oh, wow, like richer, like
right.
more than the just obvious. You know, when you say right. I thirst, the obvious thing is we thirst for things and
right.
we, you know, we're thirsting for the wrong things, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
But this is like, oh, this right. is a whole different level.
Right. And I've also, and we have seen where this really incredible insights from the Old Testament are exposed, and then people just drop it there, and they don't put the application
right.
either.
Right.
So they don't really, like, bring it home to say, right. you know, from the angel of death
right.
has your name if you do not know Jesus Christ here. And this is a problem that went thousands of years back, and the cross is the pinnacle where this is paid. So, again, there's the both and there.
Right. Right,
powerful. Right. Well, this, you know, this is a fun discussion today, and we get excited about this discussion. This is our life. I mean,
right.
this is how we wake up in the day and we think this way,
right.
and we want you
right.
to think this way too as
right.
ministers and get enthusiastic yeah. about learning the word and sharing the word.